I was told not to let anybody mess with it.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Barnett. I'm the immediate past president of the society. After tomorrow, I'll be a past president because we have new board elections. I want to thank Belinda and Richard for that fantastic presentation. And thank you so much. And we have a wonderful interview. This is really exciting. So welcome. Happy to have you here. We have a very extensive, wonderful panel here today. I'm really excited about this. We're going to let them all introduce themselves, but first I'm going to introduce to you Debbie Cohn, who is actually the grandchild of our Columbia Jewish Heritage Administration. Yes, we have a new moderator right now. Yes. And she is going to be the moderator today. So I'm going to turn this over to Debbie. Thank you.
I think what's really funny about this, when I was getting involved with doing the panel, and Rachel and Rob and I were talking, I said, what is the panel going to be about? And they said, well, we're going to talk about all the merchants on Main Street. And as my husband will probably be able to attest to you, I have a PhD in shopping, so I thought I'd be the appropriate person to do this. And I think what might be interesting, too, for all of us here is to just show of hands, how many people are from out of town? People are from Columbia. And how many people have actually shopped on Main Street?
Well, how many people continue to shop on Main Street?
How many will continue to shop on Main Street? Good question. I'm going to ask the panelists to actually introduce themselves individually. And I was thinking that it's a lot like what's going on Main Street, that our panel has been changing over the days leading up to this event, and how much Main Street has changed as well. So if each of you could introduce yourself and tell about your business and when it was founded and some information individually briefly, and then we're going to have some questions. So some people may have had the questions before to actually look over them, but others may be coming to the table new, and notes, you know, we'll just go through the questions one at a time. So let's start at the other end of the table.
Sydney.
So wherever that end is.
My father had a store on Main Street, the 16th block. I'm Carla Davis, Carla Diamond Davis. And it was called Diamonds. And it was in the 50s that we had. So I grew up knowing all the merchants on Main and Assembly. It was home to me. And he had it for about 5 or 6 years, and then he retired. And that was it.
And I'm Sydney Berry, and I'm married into the Berry family here, which Berry's on Assembly Street, and it was started in 1894 by their grandfather that came over to do that.
My name is Stacy Levinson. This is my mother, Faye Levinson. My mother and father started their store, Britain's, in 1948, and it was a wedding gift to my father, whose parents had stores in Barnwell, South Carolina, and wanted my father to move to the big city and take the opportunity to have a good business in Columbia and a bigger Jewish life. And I started my career in Britain's when I was 4 years old. I used to sing and dance for customers. So I'm going to still remember me to this day.
My name is Henry Miller, and my parents were David and Sheila Miller. They were Holocaust survivors that came to Columbia in 1949. My father's first job in Columbia was working for Columbia Distributors, which was a liquor distributor owned by the Berg family. And Mr. Berg, Bobby Berg's father, suggested to my father that he should try to really work really hard and someday try to open up a liquor store in Columbia someday. And that's what he did. By about 1955, he opened up a liquor store on Gervais Street, right next to what is now the Supreme Court building. Used to be the post office in the 50s, and my parents actually opened a series of liquor stores all downtown. One was on as I mentioned, next door to the Supreme Court building on Gervais. Another one was in what is now the green space at the corner of Lady and Main. And then there was another one in 1925 Main Street next to the Mayflower Restaurant, some of you may remember. And so again, I'm here representing my parents. They were in the liquor business, like I said, for about 25 years here in Columbia.
I'm Harold Rittenberg, and I and my father-in-law, O'Leavy, he had opened a store here in 1920, and he had a tin shack until 1948, actually, during the building. But I came with the building in 1950. And he, as a matter of fact, had just built the building, yet we had a pawn shop, we had a liquor store in the middle, and an army store in the corner. And in those days, it was, Sim Street was booming. I mean, we had the Berries, we had the Stearns, we had the Kligmans, we had the Krugmans. They were all Jewish merchants on the Sim Street, and we had Lipschitz, many Lipschitz. So the whole street was Jewish. And then what happened is my father-in-law died in 1972. And so then we opened other stores. We opened one in Irmo, we opened one near Columbia Mall, we opened one in Charlotte, North Carolina, because my son lived in Charlotte. And then slowly but surely we closed them, and now we're back. And we closed Mo Levy's 2 years ago. When Ms. Levy died, she was 106. She still was in the store at that time. And my son died also, so we closed Mo Levy's. And I'm still operating the pawn shop and Army Surplus Store. However, I'm going to close it in a few months because Ben Arla, who's a Jewish person, of course, bought the whole corner all the way around to Main Street and around half of Assembly Street, bought Howard. So that's about my story. I can tell you mostly about anything after 1950. Gloria, my wife, of course, has been here all her life. And, of course, she helped me a lot in the business, especially when we started opening the stores. We did ladies' business, and she went to New York, and we bought the ladies' clothes there. So that's my story. Here's Andy.
Gee, thanks. I'm Andy Zalkin. I am representing mainly my great-uncle, Danny Roth, who at one point worked for Uncle Mo Levy and then opened his own Army-Navy store on Washington Street in 1947. The then bought out Mr. Kligman on Assembly Street and ran both stores, Assembly and Washington, until he closed the Washington Street store in 67. And in 82, we relocated to Main Street, and we've been there ever since. Now, how much longer, I don't know. But I'm also representing my great-grandfather, Rifkin, who came over in 1905, and had a grocery store on what is now Forest Drive that was a farm-to-market road. Didn't like it, so he moved into downtown Columbia on Lady Street and ran a grocery store there. His sons didn't really go into his same business. My grandfather opened a grocery store in the 1700 block of Main Street that he subsequently sold to Harold Miller, who you know is Groucher. And he went to an outpost in Columbia that no one knew about called Five Points. And he opened his grocery deli there. After the war, when most of his business was done with students, the rumor was the university was going to move because they had such an influx of new GI Bill students. And they optioned some land off of Leesburg Road, which really was in the country then. And so my grandfather followed, and yet again he sold his deli to Harold Miller, which is how Groucho's got into Five Points. And I'll let Cousin Roz talk about the rest of the Rifkin family.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Goldberg. I'm the daughter of Ann Stern Solomon. My grandfather was Gabe Stern. I'm going to let Mom tell you all about the stores and the businesses. I would just tell you from my own perspective, I was born here And from the time we could tie a bow, we all worked in the store on Assembly Street. And so we kind of grew up working in the stores in Columbia. And as an interesting aside, just with historic Columbia here, I now have an art studio in the old arcade building on Main Street. So it just kind of continues and continues, and we are all still part of this vibrant community. This is my mom.
I guess I'm the oldest person here. Anyway, when Dad and Mother got married in 1970, they got married here in Columbia. And Dad, my brother, was born in 1918. So Dad had had a store. He was in New York. He came down here because my uncle, Hyman Shrivnik, was her brother and wanted to bring my mother here from Europe. So he brought her here, and he figured she should get married. So he published in the Jewish paper, like the Life, Love Lines, you know, just like we have it here. And he said he'd like to meet a nice Jewish girl. And so they got together, and they got married here in Columbia in 1970. My brother Henry was born in 1918. Dad started his store further down Main Street. And at that time, there were the Berries, Sam Berries Group, the Lifchuses were there. There were so many Jewish people on Assembly Street. So between Assembly and Lady, they were all Jewish businesses. Some of them were palm shops like Mo Levy, and some of them were just regular stores. And Dad stayed there. He was waiting for Ted, who I later married, because he was in service and he was in the Army, and he was stationed in Italy. So when he came home, we got married, and Henry and my husband Ted Solomon started the business, or went on with the business, which was on Assembly Street, 1424. Before that, of course, Dad had been many places, and he stayed just a little while, and then we took over. And as Bonnie said, all the kids worked there. Every kid who went to the university, every high school kid, like Nadell, Larry Nadell, Charles Nadell, they worked in our store when they were kids. They all just kind of learned how to be a part of the public then. We had a fire in the 50s, and the store didn't quite burn down, so we kept on going. And then we stayed there until the 80s, when someone bought our stores. Here is a picture of the demolition of our store and B. Berry's. And they had a store in the paper that said, "Two Assembly Street fixtures, the former homes of B. Berry's Department Store and Stern Shoe City, were demolished Monday. B. Berry's, which still has a store at Columbia Mall, closed its Assembly Street store in December after 90 years of opening. Stern's recently closed after 50 years at the site. Brian Berry is a third generation owner and president of B. Berry's, which was started by Barnett Berry in 1898. It was bought by a developer, and it's now the parking lot of, I think, one of the banks. Anyway, our business was mostly for the people who could not quite afford to go to Main Street. We were on Assembly. We had everything at first, and after the fire was just shoes. But we hired not only the Jewish kids, but the black kids. We had someone there, his name was Isaiah Pearson. He was black. He started as the superintendent of the store, And he was, I would venture to say, the first black person who became a salesman. He was a salesman in our store. And we, during the war, we had a lot of people that people knew about, like Reverend Bowman and Laura Mobley. She was the don of the black people. She was wonderful and a great salesperson. But we did cater to mostly the people who could not afford to buy their clothes and shoes other places. So when everything was going on with this 1960s and the riots, nobody touched Sterling's because they knew we were the friend of all of them. And I think that's a great legacy to have. And of course, we closed the store when it was demolished, and we learned a lot, and a lot of people learned a lot by being a part of the Jewish community and learning how to be, meet the public, and be all kinds. We had doctors, we had lawyers. All these people had worked at our store, and we're so proud of them, including our children. And I let Roz go on from there.
I'm Rosalind Rifkin. I met my husband in South Bend, Indiana. He was stationed at Notre Dame during the war. And he brought me to Columbia. And we ran Edwards Men's Shop on Assembly Street with all the other merchants on Assembly Street for 18 years. We tore that building down, so we moved to Main Street. And we were there, we are there 52 years.
Put,
okay.
Just need to turn it. Just need, yeah, just aim it at you. Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Turn it towards you.
Now that one's not working.
At Mark Spencewear for 52 years now. And my husband passed away. We called it Mark's because there was an Allen's, which was run by the Pico family, I believe. So we had to call it Mark, my other son. And we're still plugging away in there. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. They're not working. I don't know. Is this one working?
No.
Well, we'll just talk loud for a minute. I think they're kind of, batteries are going.
What
I was going to explain is I think, well, now that we've introduced everyone, we are going to have a question and answer session at the end. We're saving 15 minutes at the end. Is that working on?
Yes.
Right. And I will pass this along for each person to answer. But I think we do have some questions that we felt that would be good for the audience to hear, but we'll come back to the point you want to make. But one of the things that came out of each person's discussion or introduction here was the idea of who were the patrons to your store. And it sounds like some were the local Jewish community and some were other people. So I was going to ask that question to the group to just give us a little flavor of what the patrons of each store would be. I think we've heard Anne's story.
Who'd you mainly sell to? It's interesting when you hear things from before your time. And the lore of my Army-Navy store, which we're currently on fifth and sixth generations of the same families, they had to get their hunting clothes. They had to bring their grandchildren in to get their hunting clothes. The grandchildren are now bringing their grandchildren in to get their hunting clothes. We also dealt with value-oriented retail, so people who couldn't afford to shop on Main Street or people who weren't allowed to shop on Main Street would feel comfortable on Assembly Street.
Can you explain that a bit more?
Well, now this is hearsay, because I'm not quite that old. There was a period in Columbia for quite a long time that black customers were not welcome on Main Street, and it wasn't just the blacks. I believe there were gypsies. There were anybody who wasn't WASP was not really as welcome. And my only experience with this, several years ago, I met a gentleman who was up in age, a black man, who, when he found out what I did, he kind of got a little teary-eyed because he said our store was the only one that let him try on clothes. I thought, that's a legacy. So the other side of the coin, with the hunting clothes, we had a gentleman who was having a bachelor party, a rehearsal party for his wedding. And as the mother of the groom, the lady came in to find camouflage that would match her emeralds.
Well, when I came here in 1950, I mean, Assembly Street, frankly, was mostly black people. And the prices were unbelievable. I mean, so the shoes were $4.95. We were the first to bring Levi's to Columbia, and they were $3.98. And so that went on for a period of time. To give you an idea, I mean, in the pawn shop, they took in suits, they took in shoes, they took anything that a man could afford. Most of the customers were black. But as it evolved over the years, of course, we changed the store completely. We got into ladies' clothes, and we were big in Levi's. We were the largest in South Carolina at one time in Levi's. We sold more Levi's than anybody in South Carolina. And then it turned to college students and everybody that wanted jeans. And then when we got into the ladies' business, we had people from every walk of life come in there, and it has changed completely. So that, and of course, then at the end, we got into the last few years, we got into ski wear and outdoor gear, and then that was another type of clientele. So that's about it. Thank you.
Henry, you're not going to say that we sold to drunks?
I'll come back. Well, my father started off with a men's and boys store on Sumter Street. And when he moved to Main Street, it was during the war. And all the soldiers were coming home. Now, I had been told by several merchants that the cab drivers had a certain network of stores that they, when the soldiers came home, they said, you have to go to this store and get your Cogburn steak sandwich. Or and one of the stores was that they came to Britain's because they had to look snappy to come home to meet their families. And my dad really started a lot of his men's business with just very quick time dressing all the soldiers. But my dad loved, my grandparents taught my dad about fine quality of fabrics. He had a very instinct for nice fabrics. And he started his men's business by English tailoring, fine fabrics. And he elevated his men's business with some of the finer traditional quality. Mom, I'm looking at my mother so she can correct me, because she will when I'm wrong. And so in 1954, he wanted to get my mom a pair of Madras shorts, the height of style. And he went to all the stores on Main Street, and he couldn't find them. And one of the salesmen said, you know, I have this line, Peppercut, John Meyer, Villagers. And in my trunk, I got this new ladies' line. So sure enough, he was able to buy my mom the Madras shorts. He goes, you know, I think I'll put a few in the store. And in seconds, they sold, and that's how he started the ladies' business. So my dad, then he also saw the need of the collegiate, you know, the Ivy League, the college town, and that's how he started his trend of catering to the college. But he also, we say in my family, my dad had the eye. He always had the eye for fashion and the latest. So over the years, he evolved to introduce many new lines like Ellen Tracy, Ralph Lauren, and So over the years, we always had the leading names of fashion. And as far as the customers, I have to say that it was before my time about really about who shopped what. But I know we all welcomed all customers because my grandparents in Barnwell had stories of allowing everyone to come into our store. And my dad also, I have to throw this in with customers, he was very, had a lot of compassion, and he hired work release people to try to help them have a start in business. And my aunt told me the story today that this lady was a new seamstress, and she goes, "Oh, when'd you get her? She's very nice looking." My dad said, "Oh yeah, she just got out of prison. She murdered her husband." See, there, my mom don't want me to tell you that story. He had many people that worked in all different areas of the store that he helped get on their feet, and he was had a lot of compassion. So I don't know about the stories of not welcoming black people, and you know, but we welcomed everybody because my grandmother, you know, she liked to make a sale, so she, I can assure you, she didn't discriminate.
I want to back this whole thing up a bit, which you may or may not have gotten wind of. In the 1940s, it may have started really before that, all of Assembly Street was a farmer's market.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is really how, like, my husband's grandfather, Ann's family, that's how they really started opening those stores, was to accommodate the people that
farmers
came to the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of them were black people who sold the fruits and vegetables. There were many who bought them, but anyway, that's kind of what happened. So that's why there were that that element of people that were always on Assembly Street. I mean, it ran for blocks. I think you might know how many, but it was. I used to go with my mother. I moved here in 1949, and I used to go with my mother to buy chickens, which were hanging, and eggs, and fruits and vegetables. And that market is basically what started everybody down that street. Okay, to go back to one of Ann's comments about the black people that worked in the store, Ted and Henry and my husband, and I don't think Nathan and Paul got involved in that, but anyway, they all got together and said, "We serve these people. I don't know if you remember this, Ann, or not. We're going to hire these people to work in our stores." And that was the first, we were all connected by my neighbors, so to speak. And that's how they got better relationships with the African American community that we had, was because they did hire them, and they were welcome. But many places would not hire them. So they all felt very, I don't know, it wasn't happy, it wasn't joyful, it was a matter of survival in the time.
So there was a division in the shopping area. So what you're describing is there was the Assembly Street area and the Main Street area. So different customers would frequent the two different areas.
And my husband's family had opened a Better Ladies store on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband was so funny. He said, "I'm not working there. I don't want to have to deal with these ladies in their fancy clothes and their shoes." So he stayed on Assembly Street. But it was an interesting division in the beginning. And when I was growing up here, like many of the other people, Carl, were here too, you went downtown and you were dressed up. You had on gloves, you had on a hat, you had on real shoes. You did not wear jeans. And you went to every store in town, you had to be properly dressed.
White gloves.
When that changed, I don't know, when you think about when that has changed.
July 1968.
But anyway, that's how all of us sort of connected, because we were neighbors.
Well, I wonder too, with the divisions of the shopping areas, what about anti-Semitism? Were there actually people who wouldn't frequent the shops of Jewish merchants? Is that something that was around?
Well, I imagine that took place, but it was more of an undercurrent, I think. It's if it was taking place, I think it was more of an undercurrent. I just wanted to make mention of the fact, too, about the fact that there certainly was some crossover about shopping on Assembly Street, although, yes, a lot of blacks shopped on Assembly Street. But one of the great remembrances I have of Assembly Street was the go-to place for Chuck Taylor Converse All-Star Tennis Shoes was Stearns, Stearns Department Store. And that was just the place to go. You never looked anywhere else for Chuck Taylor Converse All-Stars except Stearns. Am I right? I mean, there's no question
Harry
about it.
Still has his.
And there's no question also what was mentioned earlier, too, was a lot of my friends growing up, they all, their first jobs, you know, when they were 15, 16, working at Stearns, and a lot of kids got their start there. I also want to make a quick mention, too, of a couple of other businesses, because we're just kind of touching on the surface of Jewish businesses on Main Street and in the downtown area. Just a few that were within a block or two of my parents' store was, and I, this has to be mentioned, is Helen Silver had a business at the corner of Lady and Main. It catered to the military. And that was a very, very busy place on Saturday afternoons. All the military would go there and purchase all types of military paraphernalia. And then other businesses in that area or even businessmen within a block of Main Street. David Wallace's office was there. I'm forgetting. Yeah, Harvey Golden, of course, practiced on Main Street.
You're older than I think you are.
Yeah. I'm right up there with him. I'm right there. But I'll pass it along now again. And,
not anymore.
We'll take the next question, I guess.
That's a great question.
Well, we were talking a little bit if there was any effects of anti-Semitism that might have been felt within the stores, or were there any merchants' associations where you connected to other non-Jewish businesses? Or is that something that happened?
Well, there, in the early days, there was more anti-Semitism than now. Now, you know, there isn't any, as far as I'm concerned. But especially in the pawn shop, when somebody would get mad, they may call you a derogatory name or something, and would say, yeah, well, I've been called worse than that, you know. But now, I don't see any anti-Semitism at all. As a matter of fact, they encourage you and they're happy with you. And now that we're closing, people are coming in and saying they hate to see us go. And so I don't see any at all right now.
I'd just like to add, as a somewhat rural state, and most of us have read that wonderful book, The Jew Store, about the small towns all having their Jewish store. That's what I get today when I have customers walking in. Is this a Jew store? And you look at me, I'm a rabbi. Sure, it's a Jew store. But the negative, of course, and I don't know if this is just ignorance or on purpose, is the bargaining aspect. I want to Jew you down. I stop sales at that point and escort them out.
I grew up on Assembly Street because we were five children in my family, and we all started working in the store as soon as we were old enough to walk. So I played. We used to go down to the store because we could walk any place then. We didn't find you weren't afraid to go downtown by yourself. So all of us kids would go down.
You lived downtown. You lived downtown.
We lived in, on Marion Street, which was right downtown. And we played with the kids whose parents had their stores. And Assembly Street was not like it is today. It had a market in the middle. And a lot of the merchants there had children. We played with their children. And Catholics especially, because St. Peter's Church is there. So we had good friends that we kept all these years. I never saw anything, but because we were just friendly with everyone. But I hate that anybody would see it, because it's so wonderful being friends. When we had our fire, the Kuris, who are, I guess, Syrians.
Lebanese.
They were our best friends. They offered to help in any way they could. We were just friends with everybody. It was a wonderful feeling growing up in Columbia and all the same.
It was pretty like fast. Everyone lived together and worked together and grew up together, and we're still friends.
One of the things we might think about too with the difference, Main Street, Assembly Street, was the suburbanization of Columbia when that took place. What were your businesses thinking in terms of, did you have to move to another position? Did you stay where you were? Is that something that anyone on the panel experienced or experimented with at the time?
We did discuss it. Excuse me. And Columbia grew mainly northeast, northwest, with a little bit west and a little bit east. And being downtown, we were central. So no matter what part of town you were in, you still had to travel to us. So we stayed where we were on purpose so that we would be at equidistant to all the new developments.
Pass it down to Sid and Stacy. I think you might have something to say about that.
I think the malls hurt Main Street.
Well, we expanded. You know, we went to where the growth of the city
might be. Just pass them.
Pass the mic down.
We'll come back. We'll come back down.
Well, no. You know, my dad expanded wherever the growth in Columbia was. And we ended up having four stores, one in the Columbia Mall area, one in the Dutch Square area. Dutch Square in its day was a tremendous, vibrant mall. It had some of the top malls, I mean stores in the country. And the Chick-fil-A was like the number one Chick-fil-A record bar. It was a very happening mall. And then Columbia Mall. But unfortunately, for Main Street was kind of dying. You know, I mean, we did see the decline of Main Street, and we saw some of the negative forces that hurt, like that lady coming in. But in my dad's experience, although it was good for a time, you know, it was overexpanded. But his love was always Main Street because of the community of the area. And I will say one, my memories, because I don't have too many memories, but Jake Free had that luggage store. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you saw him always out on the street and, you know, little, like even in the 60s, you just walked around, you knew your neighbors, and it was a community. The malls really never had the same type of community.
Did you offer different merchandise in the stores in the mall than you would in Main Street?
We did. Our Main Street was still our premier store because, again, I don't have these memories, but Main Street, Carla would know, had magnificent stores. I mean, it was a very, it was more than Charleston. I mean, of South Carolina apparently had like some of the top stores and people came from all around. So Main Street always had the special that the other, to me, the other locations never had. Yeah, but that was my also my dad's premier store. So we did have the most designer clothes in Main Street.
Uptown. So with expansion, was it difficult to manage more stores? Did that provide, when you expanded, did it become more difficult to have to manage so many stores?
Well, to this day, I color my hair, so I'll let you figure that out. That it was, you know, I think the store got a little bigger than my father. I mean, we had ended up with a lot of employees at one time, but it just, the expenses, the management of it. But really, Main Street, I'll remember when we closed Main Street, it was just very heartbreaking to my family to be not merchants.
Tell them all come shop on those.
Yeah, we're now on Divine Street. So we're still there.
Is it time for commercials?
Stay part of those Century. Sorry, did Carla, were you going to say something, Carla?
No, but Main Street had lovely stores.
We'll just pass you
the
mic.
My father was always hanging out on the parking meter. Everybody would come by and see him, and he would talk to them. And I think the Clemens had a pawn shop.
They had an Army Navy store.
Army Navy store.
My uncle bought them in 57.
Okay. Yeah. But Main Street was swell, and I had a wonderful time in the house store. And then I worked in Britain.
Yeah.
On Main Street, so I had a great time there.
I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, being that we were an Assembly Street store, my husband decided that we need to be in one of these new malls that just opened up, the Columbia Mall. So he opened a store out there. And I don't know that it was the same kind of feeling, because like you say, you do upgrade your merchandise a little bit, but we don't really know how that would have continued to affect us or the community, because he got sick and died, and they didn't keep the store open because there was no one to run it. But it was an interesting change of people and places and the things that were around you. It was a whole different vibe than what.
Yes, Main Street was a community. That's, you know, yeah. Not the mall separate.
The malls are just
a mall. Just there.
To give you an idea about Columbia, one of the main times when you see how the whole community went to Main Street is Halloween. On Halloween, everybody would parade on Main Street and with their costumes, and it was crazy. It was like a big event. Of course, now it's nothing like that.
I beg your pardon.
What?
Halloween's our busiest time of year.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about doing business. I'm talking about the community coming to Main Street.
Well, all my customers walk out in costumes.
They parade out in costumes?
The store to the car.
Go to Army Navy.
Whenever you're done. All.
But as far as expanding, in other words, when we found it was, I told you I was the biggest dealer in Levi's in South Carolina, then came White's, and then came all the department stores. I wasn't. So that's why I opened three more stores in Columbia, to kind of give you the buying power and to compete with those jokers, you know. And there was a fellow in Charleston named Dumas, I guess anybody from Charleston.
Still there.
No, the son's running it now because Joe and Abe are gone. But we would trade merchandise, Levi's especially. And he would call me on the phone and say, Harold, I just got a ship in and I need 200 pair of bell bottoms. And I would go and ship him, well, he'd come and pick them up because he could sell the whole ship, you know, all those people. And then I wanted to say something else. Well, I'm getting old, but I can't remember what I was going to say.
I just want to thank Stacy real quick for mentioning Jake Freed, who was absolutely a fixture. Yeah. When I moved back to Columbia in 71, he was my third job that I had, and I stayed with him for several years. It was an amazing store that was, I guess, the natural evolving of a pawn shop into an upscale luggage and jewelry store. The customers I waited on were the creme de la creme. When Jake would buy something, an estate, he outbid Sylvan's. I mean, there were things in that store that were absolutely unbelievable. It didn't look like anything but a basic store. The man had a following that absolutely trusted him, and he was always known as one of the most down-to-earth, most honest businessmen. And most people don't know is during the Depression, he got a master's degree. He was going to med school, and then there was the Depression. So for the rest of the time, he was an unofficial doctor with his hypochondria.
Well, we've talked a lot about the inside of the buildings, what your merchandise was, but maybe it would be interesting to tell everyone about how it was adapting to these 19th century, you know, older buildings, what you had to do to make them work in the modern era, or the times that you had to keep following along.
Well, we, after the fire, we became a shoe store, and it was discount shoes. So Stern's Discount Shoes, everybody knew, and they cried when we left because you couldn't get those things, you know, like villager shoes and all the good designer shoes. And the college kids would come and meet the trucks in the back of our store and rummage through those boxes until they found their size and they got them. And also, you were talking about, do the Main Street people go down to Assembly Street? I remember that B. Berry's had 3G suits, and all the lawyers and big shots bought their suits from them. So, you know, it didn't really matter. They didn't think of it as any different. It's just that those people who didn't have enough money to buy on Assembly Street,
what was your building when you bought it? Bought the building. That's what Devin wants to know. What was the building, and what did you have to do to it to make it the store?
I told him.
The changes to the building, the actual look of the building.
Well, when Dad bought it, gosh, that was so many years ago, it was two stores, and he rented them. And he rented a store on Main Street just for a year. And then he bought a business in Lexington. And then he came back to Columbia in 1938 because we had lived in Lexington for a year. And my brother and sister, Henry and Sylvia, were graduated from Lexington High School. So mother wanted them to come to the university here. So we moved back to Columbia. And so we moved, put the store into one store instead of just two, and had a clothing store and had everything there on the same street.
We'll pass that back down. Sid wants to answer.
But Ross, you've redone your store. Ross is a very old building, which they have
to
come in. We're talking about changing the look of the store, the actual architecture, the physical outsides of the buildings, and how they've evolved, and what you've had to do to keep the businesses going in that way.
Well, we didn't do much to change the outside. We were renting first the 1300 block, and they tore that building down for the IBM building. So we had to move to the 1600 block, and the outside pretty much the same. I believe, in fact, there was a jewelry store where King's Jewelers was. They moved down the street because my brother-in-law bought that building and he wanted to be in it. And we just, with the city, let's just fix it up with the grand.
That's recently, isn't it?
Yes, right. It's just been about 3 years.
Yeah. So that's been upgrading.
And the merchant stores have gone from one street, so it's a little
different.
I only have one comment to make, and we can't take credit for this, but when Uncle Danny bought the Kligman Army Navy store at 1316 Assembly Street, they must have gone through some changes because it was a stable. I don't know what changes. The floors seem the same. but it was a stable brought into the 20th century.
We're talking about a stable. There was, when I came here in the 50s, we had a stable on the street. It's called Kaufman's Feed and Seed. And they had horses, and Gloria mentioned to me they had a place to feed the horses. That was for my time, I'm afraid. But we're going back to competition and what have you. Well, Danny, of course, he was big when he bought out the Cleveland's. He carried something called a real good bell-bottom jean.
Landlubber hip-hugger bell-bottoms.
And between Danny and us, we had the whole university covered.
The whole thing.
We carried the Levi's, and he had his Landlubbers, but we had other bell-bottoms. But on a Saturday, Simba Street was just mobbed with kids, and it was just a friendly competition between Danny and us and my father-in-law. And of course, he died in 74. It's really the right after that. Well, it was right in the middle of the gene craze right there.
Well, thank you. That's a great one. I want to say as well that all the photos that are here, we are going to scan and archive them, and people have generously allowed them to be given to get scanned, whatever. So that will happen.
Yeah, I just brought pictures of the progression of like the buildings that you asked about.
Yeah.
Because my dad moved 4 or 5 times, you know, as the progression of Main Street evolved. And his famous store was 1337, but we were Wayne Hampton Hotel. No. 1337, 1417, 1517. So, yeah, I did bring pictures
right.
So y'all could see that.
Well, I'm going to open the floor up for questions and answers, too.
One more thing,
okay. And then we'll
one
get some questions.
This whole panel has sat here and talked. There's another very important Jewish merchant that is not here with us today, and that's Lurie's. And King's Jewelers and Jeffrey. But Lurie's, if y'all know who Senator Lurie was,
Senator
he started
Lurie
the Jewish Historical Society.
Now we got a second.
And his business was.
Mitchell's.
And then it moved to where Mass General is now. But it's a shame that none of those folks are here to join in this conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Lurie's started from there. Mother who opened their store in the 40s, 50s, 40s, the late 40s. So anyway, there were more than what we have talked about.
Well, while we have the people we have today that are really wonderful to give us this information, are there any questions? I'll bring the mic to you so we can hear.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Smith. Fabulous being here. I'm originally from Charleston, and I do have a question, but because of the question coming up about people where they shop and my age and little thing factor, I'm black. I grew up in Charleston, and the experience that my family had in Charleston is that African Americans could not, if anyone knows about Charleston, we did not shop below Calhoun Street. And so west of Calhoun Street was Jewish stores. So that's the only place we really shop comfortably. And I can remember my mother going to furniture stores that was Jewish, and I think the Jewish population would be the only one that would give her credit to buy furniture. And when I was growing up, I also remember when I went the other end of Calhoun Street, like Cressets and places like that, I couldn't ship shop upstairs. I had to shop in the downstairs basement, the bargain area. And the quality of the clothes were not the same as it was on the top. Mm-hmm. So basically my experience as growing up and my mother's experience is that we could only or comfortably shop at Jewish stores. The only other one that I remember my mother bragging about is Sears. she said, but Sears, you have the best, the better, the good, the better, the best. And she always had the best from Sears. But I do have a question to ask as far as where you're living. Did many of you live at your stores, in your stores, or where were you living in comparison to your stores?
Grandparents.
You have a mic.
Yeah. In their store.
That way.
I'll take that one for the question.
I think in the small towns, a lot of that happened a lot. I don't think it was in Columbia much.
We lived a block away.
It was long before your time.
Before my time. I can remember the small towns, everyone lived in their stores.
Grandparents lived upstairs in the store. But no, not after a certain, I guess, the turn of the century, maybe the 1900s. I don't know that any of them did, but I know that they did long before that.
One thing that was above the stores that nobody's talked about was sort of a synagogue. Because anybody who had a Yorksite, above, and I believe it was B. Berry's or Stern's, one of those two-story buildings had the meeting place. If you had a Yorksite and needed a minion, that's where you went. And they had services almost every night.
Well, they don't understand what a Yorksite is.
This is a Jewish group. I think they do.
Okay.
True. You're right. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
I have a question in form of a statement, I guess, because I think y'all mentioned Cleveland several times. I'm from Cleveland, and I want to thank Andy for making the purchase from my grandfather. It probably helped put my father through law school.
We're almost ready for the last payment.
He was on the 1300 block of Assembly Street. I knew it was a stable, but I did not remember until he said it. I remember walking into my grandfather's store. It had that creak of that floor.
Yes.
You could hear the floor creak. You could smell the building. It had a scent, and it was remembrance, and that's what I remember of the store. But I remember, and I tell you, I have to say this, it was kind of funny, because now that you're on Main Street, when I walk in your store,
same smell.
It's not the same facility.
We spray it every morning.
moved here in the early 1900s. He came from Nikolaev, from Ukraine. And he, I don't know how many years it took him to build the store, but I felt like I heard stories of him living on top of somewhere on that Assembly Street area. And then, of course, they moved down to Kilburn, in that area, which was basically outside of downtown area, which is really funny because now it's down the street. But my dad, of course, I want to bring this up because Robin reminded me. My dad, was in the store. He's an only child. He's an only son. He's six. He is 5 years old in this picture. He's born in 31, and this picture's from 36. And he's, probably working, folding underwear, putting socks together. It was an Army made store. And this picture was in 36. So they definitely catered to the soldiers. And they sold fatigues and all the basic needs for all the soldiers. But if you look at this picture and you go into Army Navy on Main Street, Andy's store, you will feel like you're in the same era. It is a wonderful feeling walking with Andy's.
Thank you, Heidi.
But I appreciate Robin reminding me about this picture. It is on the Columbia Heritage Initiative. It's beautiful. And I'm not sure how the archives are going, but one thing we did when my father passed away, we felt so much of this history was important, that we actually gathered a lot of our original paperwork and history and beautiful pictures like this for Dale to photograph and put in the archives for South Carolina.
I think this is part of the College of Charleston, so it's a wonderful thing. Thank you all for the panel. Thank you for your...
I'm Joe Rosen, and my grandfather had a United Luggage shop on Main Street. It's kind of
kind of, it's in the 1300 block, 1339, and he read it until 57. And the reason why he closed, he couldn't extend credit in stores like belts and taps and wipes could extend credit, and that's when he decided to get out of the retail business. One of the things I want to point out, Main Street, which used to be called Richardson Street, and the merchants on Assembly Street, were thriving, and Richardson Street was cheaper. So some of the merchants went over to Richardson Street, or people started business on Richardson Street, and changed the name to Main Street. And I do remember the story my grandmother told me, that she was, we're out of town, and she got a long distance phone call from her father. And I don't remember what year it was, but you didn't get long distance phone calls. Her father had bought a store on Main Street. I think is where that was where Barry's on Main was. And so that's how the family got Barry's on Main Street store. The brothers all bought it. Well, the father bought it, and the brothers inherited it. But that's how Richardson Street, and it was really funny because Main Street became, when they renamed Main Street, that's where a lot of merchants moved to. But it was a thriving business on Main Street too. My grandfather, like I said, was in business from like 23 until 57. And I've shopped. I even worked at Malady's when I was a kid, and it was a lot of fun. But I just wanted to point that out because the family had been on Main Street, Assembly Street for a long time. Thank you.
Sorry,
It's on.
No, I just wanted to say, Joe said they went out of business because the Belks and the Sears and everyone did credit, but we did later. Yes. You could pay whatever, and you had a number, and it would go up on a shelf behind the register, and you could take your life to pay this off. It was just on later.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Are there any more questions on the floor? There.
I don't need a mic.
Okay, good.
I'm an old timer, but not from around here. So there were some comments about some events that occurred during the civil rights period, and I was wondering if some of you folks could expand on some of the experience that you folks had.
What I was told, because I was in Greensboro where the sit-ins started, but what I was told that happened here was there were a group of Jewish merchants who were unscathed because in the community they were accepted, they had reciprocity, and so they were not the targets as such on Assembly Street. It may have been somewhere else, but not the Assembly Street group.
Because they hired them.
Yeah, they were part of the family.
Yeah, right.
Anyone else want to respond on that one? Okay, another question?
The kind of conventional wisdom about the so-called Jew store is that it's many of them are going out of business because it's the next generation really got ahead and went to college or in professional school and wasn't really interested in staying behind the counter. Is that, it seems like we've got an intergenerational group here. Does that sound like your experience, or is there something else going on?
That's very true.
I think the main reason the small merchants went out was because of the box stores. Because of Walmart and all of them, you could ride 30 miles and you could go to one of those stores. So all the mom and pop stores were just closing like flies in the 50s.
And add to that Jewish parents always want their children to do better than they did. So you're not supposed to stand in a store. You shouldn't stand on your feet all day. Go be a lawyer.
Or a doctor.
You're funny, Donald.
I don't know if my parents
parents really wanted me to come back to the store. You know, they wanted me to marry a nice Jewish doctor. However, you know, I married Harry Lancaster. Thank God for him, because he is part of running the store today. But anyway, I know as a little kid, my mom came to work when I was born, so I really grew up in the store. I can remember working in the alterations department, sewing on buttons. I just was always a part of it, and I call it the curse of the retailer, you know, because I mean, that's my passion. I tried to explore many, many different occupations, and it all roads led back to being a retailer. I know my niece and nephew, they have explored different professions. I know my niece Emily does, she's not going to it. Rachel's shaking her head, but she does love it. And when they were little, they have also worked in our store during seasonal times. But I know that I am very proud that my grandmother had a store when she was 17. My parents have stores. And I think it's a really special, you have to love it. It's not an easy business. I'm not a millionaire. I wish I was. Please come buy clothes. But I just have a natural, all my cousins, so many of them are in retail. But I do love what I do. And I think it's part of my Jewish heritage as well. Because it all intertwined. My grandmother, her two passions in life were retail and Judaism. So, since I'm the youngest up here.
I just wanted to say, with the whole downtown area, not the whole downtown area, but was a lot of it was dependent on Army people. In other words, this is an Army town. And on paydays, you'd stay open at 12 o'clock at night. And they had Saul Levitsky on Main Street. They had Isidore McGurgle. He had a military store. You had Saul Silver. He had a military store. And it was all based on the military. And that was a lot of what the Jewish... And there was another point I want to bring out, is they were all like a little clique, all our little military stores. And Isidore Gergel and Mo Levy were the ones that, when some Jewish people are vagrants, they'd come to town and they got nowhere to go in those days. So Isidore would take care of them, or Mo Levy would take care of them, give enough money to get them to the next town and put them up for the night.
Well, thank you for taking care of all of us today. This has been a great, great discussion. So thank you so much, everyone. You're welcome. We all have to have a tour, a walking tour, and I think there'll be a few minutes break, and then we'll give information about that.
Wait.
Everyone, I just